Do you really love her more than anything? I mean, when the cards are stacked against you, do you really still love God? I mean, love is not an adjective. Lovely is an adjective. But love is a verb. It is an action. It is proven by how we act towards who we're demonstrating the verb to. So when you say you love God, would the songwriter say, I love God? What's wrong with you? But when you love something, you got to show some love, amen? Amen. We got to demonstrate that thing. Amen, amen. We are going to hop right into the word today. It's such a privilege to be here and be ready to hop into the word. Catrice, have ready for me, in addition to what we have it, in the introduction, have 1 Samuel 18:6 through 16. We'll have to read along with that, but that's not the text. But have that ready so they can follow along for me, please. 1 Samuel 18:6 through 16. Just a little addendum. I know I'm getting on her nerves, but I love you, sis. I love you. First Samuel, have that ready for me, 18:6 through 16. First, giving the honor to God, who's the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit, to the angel of the house, Pastor Mobley Jr., to all my brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a word from the Lord today. Come and go with me to 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter. And we're going to read the first through the eighth verse. We're going to be hanging out a lot in 1 Samuel on today. Be prayerful for those who are traveling. A lot of people traveling on today, leaving, coming back. So be mindful and prayerful for those families who are vacationing. Amen? Amen. 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 8. If you have it, say amen. 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 And there you will find these words. Now it happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road, where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, and he said to those same men who told him that this was his day, but he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also afterward went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Grab your neighbor by the hand, look him right in the eye, smile, shake it a little bit. Repeat after me. Neighbor, on today, the preacher's going to preach about The preacher's going to ask a question. Can you remain faithful in the midst? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We honor you. We praise you. We love you on today. Lord, we just come thanking you for your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you love us and keep us. God, we just thank you that you have allowed us another opportunity to come into your house of worship on today. Now, Lord, we ask that you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Lord, we ask that somebody leave here today asking, what must I do to be saved? And God, we want to give you all the praise, honor, and the glory, for it belongs to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. 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 You may be seated in his presence. Can we remain faithful in the midst? And the Lord told me to leave it at the midst because the midst simply means to be in the middle. Amen. To be in the middle of something. And I wanted to call it to be able to remain faithful in the midst of the storm or in the midst of the fire or in the midst of the trouble. But the Lord said, we struggle with being faithful to him in the midst of just about everything. Amen. Well, the times are good, we struggle being faithful. Times are bad, we struggle being faithful. We all tend to struggle to be faithful to God regardless of what's going on in our lives. Martin Luther King said that the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort or convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Amen. Where do we stand when times get hard or when times get challenging or when things just aren't going the way we want them to go? Are we able to remain faithful during those times? Now, the backdrop of this story is that David has pretty much just finished defeating Goliath. Amen. Last time I preached, we spoke about David slaying the giant. Remember? And he and Saul was scared. We also remember that Saul was head and shoulders above the whole country. He was taller than everybody, and he was still scared of Goliath. Now, little old ruddy David came, and he was on a mission from his father just to bring his brothers something to eat. And he came in, and he couldn't understand why everybody was so scared of Goliath. He couldn't figure it out. Long story short, he went in, and he followed God, and he was fearless, and he got the 5 stones. It only took one, threw it at the giant, knocked him out, and cut off his head with his own sword. Everybody tried to kind of give him some advice. Saul tried to give him his armor, and it was awkward. It didn't feel right. Everybody was trying to tell him, get on out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. Drop off where Dad told you to drop off and keep it moving. He had people saying all types of things to him. Saul just said, okay, go ahead, take it, and move on. So David was victorious through Jesus the Christ. Now, on the way back from this, King Saul, the same king who David helped, the same king who David bailed out of trouble, he had a little bit of an issue. Amen? Go over to 1 Samuel 18. Okay? And this is what I was talking about, and I know she'll get it if she hasn't yet. Go over to 1 Samuel 18. And right there at verse 6, it said, now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel singing, dancing to meet King Saul. They still love King Saul. with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now, even though they coming out to honor and flatter and sing to the king, you know, some people just listen to the beats of music and they get hype off the beats and you bob your head to the beat and you're like, oh, that's my jam. A lot of the songs I hear today, the trap music and all that, I don't know what they saying. But the beats are pretty catchy. Saul was the exact opposite. He actually paid attention to the words of the song. And the hook said, Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul heard that hook and said, then Saul was very angry and saying this, and the saying displeased him. The hook hacked him off. And he said that they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Talk about petty. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? Check it out. Y'all thought that evil eye was something new, didn't y'all? There's nothing new underneath the sun. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, so Saul eyed David from that day forward, like this. He's looking at him. From that day forward, he had that old crooked, lazy eye on David because of the hook of that song. That's what it said. I didn't make it up. It says, so Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul and he prophesied in the house. So David played music with his hand, and it, as at other times, this wasn't nothing new. David was in the presence of the king, and he's playing, because you know David was a man of many trades. He could play, he could sing, he could worship. He was a fierce warrior, obviously. He was a shepherd. He could do a lot of things. So right now he's in his minister of music mode. So David played music with his hand as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. See, that's that evil eye. He still got it on him. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. You have to get this, and then we'll get back to the text in a second. So David's in there playing the harp because he was a great musician, and he's playing his instrument, and he's playing, and he's sitting there, eyes closed, worshiping. And as he's sitting against the wall, he opens his eyes, because there's a spear pinned into the wall right next to him. And that's like me sitting here trying to preach, and I'm praying, and somebody whizzes a spear past my head. I'm just here worshiping. I just got through killing the giant for you and your country. What is going on here? I'm a little confused. But the Lord allowed a distressful spirit to come up on Saul. Now, I got to stop there, because somebody's saying, the Lord caused that? Well, you're going to see that a few times, because Saul was being punished because he had a reputation of being consistently disobedient to the word of God. Amen? Amen. So God was dealing with Saul because he wasn't living and following the orders and commandments that God had had him do. We understand that? So God wasn't just messing around with Saul because he wanted to, but Saul was being punished and being dealt with because he didn't follow the law that God had given him. Amen? There were some statutes and some decrees and some orders that God had placed on Saul. That's a whole nother sermon. But I'm telling you that this spirit of distress that came up on him, it was a penalty of the sins that Saul had committed. Amen. We clear on where that distressful spirit came from. So you don't got to ask any questions. You can look it up for yourself. Look up and see the things Saul had done that made God not angry, that made God angry with him. Saul was running around here scared of Goliath, and God had been so faithful to Saul, and Saul was just hiding like a little kid, scared. Not being faithful and believing all of what God had already done for him. But David escaped his presence twice. David, you ever have somebody looking at you crazy, and you don't even know why they beefing with you? You don't even know why they mad at you. And David don't even understand. He's just in there playing and worshiping, and he has spears flying, whizzing by his head. He was in the valley of the shadow of death and didn't even know it. Now listen to this. Now, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed Saul. So Saul was fearful again, just like he was of Goliath. And now he's fearful of David because David was a man after God's own heart. Everything Saul was not, David was that. David was all that in a bag of chips. The people loved him. He had favor with the people. And this spirit of envy and jealousy had consumed Saul. But Saul knew that the Spirit of God was with David. So in the midst of all his anger and resentment and hatred for David, he still had enough sense to be afraid because the Lord was with them. And Saul even knew that the Lord wasn't with him. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David, listen to this, behaved wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Everybody in Israel and Judah loved David. Okay? Everybody loved him, and that just ate Saul up. He couldn't stand it. He despised it. There's a few things you need to understand, that regardless of what was going on with David, in this situation, in this time of his life, he behaved wisely, which means he behaved in a way that was pleasing to God. Amen? So that allowed God's presence and his spirit to always be with him. That allowed him not to be fearful of anything. That allowed him to understand that no matter where I go, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David wrote that because he understood that if I'm faithful to God, that my going in and my coming out will always be blessed. Can we remain faithful in the midst? Some of us, when things are going good and we got a lot of money in our pocket, or we have a good thing happen in our life, we'll celebrate on one day and can't make it to worship God the next. If times get hard, then we get so down and out and depressed, we can't even come out to worship or grow in the Lord because there's trials and tribulations going on. We discussed today downstairs that God knows exactly how much strength he's given you each and every day. So if you say, I just don't have the energy, Pastor, to make it, I'm tired, I'm sick, Pastor going to say, let me pray with you, and we'll pray, we see you on Tuesday. But God knows when we have enough strength and energy to make it out to worship him and to do his will. Amen? Amen. Don't get quiet on me, because you have to understand that you can tell Pastor anything. You can tell your boss anything. You can tell your family and friends anything. But God knows the truth. Amen? Amen. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Can we remain faithful in the midst? That's the question. Can we remain faithful in the midst? Samuel anointed Saul. Amen. And Saul was appointed by God to be the ruler of all Israel. Okay? What you also have to understand is that sometime later, the same Samuel also anointed David. Amen. Amen. He anointed both of them. Samuel, called prophet of the Lord, anointed both of these men to be king of Israel. But it was all according to God's timing. Amen. There was a promotion waiting for David,
But it was not when David wanted it to happen. It was in God's timing. We have to understand that. So God had already given David a glimpse of what was to come, but David had to be patient and wait on God to allow it to come into fruition. Now, because Saul allowed his flesh to get the best of him, and he started to do things his own way, and he became full of himself, and he started to do those things that weren't pleasing to God, the Spirit of God departed. Which brings me to my next point. Can we remain faithful in the midst of your position? Now we're going to come back to the text. Okay, so regardless of where you are, regardless of where you are in life, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, can we remain faithful? Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. They're in a dark place. The Bible tells us David had about 500 or 600 men. 100. But Saul had thousands. Not just any type of riffraff. The Bible said they were chosen men of Israel. Amen? David just had 400, 500, 600. I think Saul had about 3,000. They're in a dark place and they're hiding. Now, right prior to this, Saul had them surrounded. Am I right about it? He had them surrounded and he had them ready to go, but the Lord intervened and they had to come get him and said he had to leave that and go back and pursue the Philistines. He had to leave and let David go. You ever seen somebody getting pulled over? You ever been pulled over and then you about to get that ticket and then the policeman gets another call and he has to leave? It never happened to me, but I've heard of it happen to other people. So the point of it is, we all know that, but David was in trouble, and because the Spirit of God was with him, Saul had to leave and go. Now, we don't know what happened at that point, but they were still in war with the Philistines. But he, after all that, because of that spirit that was upon him, he couldn't let David go. So as soon as he got through dealing with the Philistines, he came back and started to pursue David. He was done with that because he was trying to do God's mission, but he was more focused on his own. God had something for Saul to do. But Saul was just fixated on his obsession with his disdain and his hatred for David. So he came back and he went in. Let's break some down here. So they're looking for David. And David and his men, the position they are they're in the recesses of the cave, which means they all up in the cave. There's no light up in the cave. They're in there hiding, trying to come up with a plan. And let me tell you how God set it up. So if you look at 24, about verse 3, it says, so he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. Okay, I got to break this down. Saul had to go use the bathroom. We get it now? Saul had to go relieve himself. He's the king. He needed a little privacy. Amen. So he's in this cave all by himself. Okay. Nobody's in there with him. So he thinks. And he's in there. And David and all his men are hiding. He doesn't even know they're in there. Most people, when they're handling their business, we read the Bible. Or we read a newspaper. Or we look at our phone. Saul thought that he was in a good little peaceful situation, that he could have a few moments to himself. Amen. Just a few. Little did he know that David and his hundreds of men were in there right with him as he handled his business. Can you remain faithful in your position? Well, okay, Reverend Trey, he was in He was in the cave with his hundreds of men. King Saul was handling his business. What position are you talking about? Well, first off, it's a dark position. We said that. But this was a position that David could have extracted revenge on his enemy. He could have ended it right then and there. Okay? He was in a position of victory if he had just did whatever he wanted to do. Had he done what he wanted to do, he would have had his victory right then and there. Well, what are you saying? The men of David, I'm getting ahead of myself. So look, so right then and there, he was in a situation, he was in a position that the king of Saul, not one of his thousands of men were there, and he could have had his way with King Saul. Let's backtrack. King Saul had already tried to kill him two times. You know, with the spear, the Bible says that David escaped his presence twice. Twice David was in the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't know why. He had to get up out of there. He was just trying. He thought he was high and lifted up in the eyes of Saul. He was best friends with his son, Jonathan, and he had to get away from him because he was trying to kill him. And then Saul said, "Get out of my face. I'm getting you out of my presence." He put him over some other men, and then Saul came after him again. Saul went to go use the bathroom, and now David's in there hiding. Hiding with his hundreds of men. So now you got hundreds of men to just one man. But he's not just any man. He's King Saul. Appointed by God. Anointed by Samuel. This is God's anointed. In the midst of his mess, regardless of how he's conducting himself right now, he is still God's anointed and appointed king. Am I right about it? He is still called by God in the midst of his shenanigans. Keep it real a moment. You don't got to always agree with Pastor Mobley. You don't always have to like what he says or does. But he is appointed and anointed by God to lead this church. Amen? Amen. Don't get quiet on me. Okay? Because the Bible says, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." That means don't touch them with these and don't touch them with this. So, we can go back now. But, so we come in and we're going to go into the second point. So we understand, can you remain faithful regardless of your position? And now, can you remain faithful regardless of peer pressure? Can you remain faithful regardless of peer pressure? Let's just keep it going. Now, listen to this. They're in the cave. We're going to tell this story, and we're going to go home. They're in the cave, and they're sitting there, and they're hiding. And then the men of David said, "This is the day of which the Lord..." They lying on God. "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" That peer pressure gets you every time. Every time it'll get you. So they land there and they hyping them up. They gassing up. You see it on Facebook all the time when they be trying to get each other to fight. All the little peer pressure and all the crowds are standing around the kids and the adults, and they egging people on and they gassing people up to fight. I seen a video just the other day, two teenagers, and the kids were egging on this one kid to fight. So the kid was ready and he got hyped up, and the other kid caught him with a good right hook. He put on his backpack and he walked all... He said, "I just woke up. I don't feel like fighting." People will gas you up and peer pressure you into doing things that God don't want you to do. Can we remain faithful in the midst of peer pressure? Can we remain faithful when ungodly counsel is coming to our way? I don't care who's giving it to you. If it don't line up between Genesis and Revelation, it's ungodly. And it'll get you in trouble. Can we remain faithful when somebody's telling you to leave your spouse? Can you remain faithful when somebody's telling you to cheat on your taxes? Can you remain faithful when somebody's telling you to take extra breaks and you don't got any more breaks left? Well, I take extra breaks all the time. They don't say nothing to me. Can we remain faithful when people are telling us to do things that aren't pleasing to God? So, David is in a situation now, same position, dark cave. He's outnumbered if he goes outside the cave. He has his biggest enemy. I would venture to say this is probably the biggest enemy David had dealt with, other than himself, throughout his life from the biblical standpoint. Saul wanted him dead. Okay, I mean, wanted him dead. He ate, slept, and dreamed about killing David. And he was a powerful man. Amen. And he was a child of God. And he wanted David dead. So the men of David, y'all remember when Job was sick? And his wife, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, said, just curse God and die. Don't put up with this. Just curse God and die. Peer pressure can come from people that you hold dear to your heart. You don't need to go over there. What you going over there for? Come over here. You ain't, it don't take all that to worship God. It don't take all that for this and that. And you know the spirit is troubling you. And you know it's trying to push you to do what's right. And it's trying to get you to have a spirit of conviction. And peer pressure tell you, I watch Bishop Jakes. That's good enough for me. I don't got to go every Sunday. I'm going to go get that overtime every Sunday. Bank account, fat, spiritual account in the red. What does it profit a man to gain the world, the whole wide world, and to lose his soul? We have to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So we're not like the chaff that the wind drives away. That peer pressure will get you every time. We looked at how Jezebel would influence Ahab, and he was just so weak, and she was actually pulling strings like a puppet, making things happen how she wanted them to happen. If we don't heed to godly counsel and heed to the word, we're going to fall victim to some peer pressure and some ungodly counsel. The men of David tried to use the word to convince David that it was time to end this charade. But can we remain faithful in the midst of the position that we're in, even if it's going to allow us to be promoted, even if it's going to allow us to end? I know David was tired of looking over his shoulder. I'm sure the fleshly part of David said, this man had tried to kill me multiple times. Now he's haunting me. I can't even sleep without keeping an eye open because he got his lazy eye on me. I can't do anything because Saul won't leave me alone. I want to end this too. So right now he's in a battle. Do I kill him like I want to, like my men are telling me to, or do I do what God wants me to do? Can we remain faithful in the midst of peer pressure? So we go back up to 5. Let's see what happened. This is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver, this is for your enemies, into your hand, and you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly out of a and look, and David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. This is what he did. This is the decision that he made. In the midst of his position, in the midst of the peer pressure, this is what he did. He arose and secretly, which means Saul didn't know. Saul was still taking care of his personal business. And he cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now, it happened afterward that David's heart, listen to this, David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Takes me to the next point. Can we remain faithful in the midst of your own pettiness? So, what do you mean? Even though David didn't kill him like he was being peer pressured to do, even though David didn't kill him like he wanted to do, he still was a wee bit petty and went ahead and did something else in between and cut off that little corner of Saul's road. Amen? Well, how do you know that that was a little petty, Pastor Trey? How do you know that he still kind of didn't do what he was supposed to do? The Bible says in 24, 5 through 6, now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him. Well, why? Somebody say why. Because he had cut Saul's robe. It's right there. I didn't even really have to do a lot of prayer for that piece right there, because it was right in the same verse that the reason why his heart was troubled was because he cut the piece of Saul's robe. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That is literal. He shouldn't have touched them. He could have killed them. He didn't do that, but he shouldn't have touched them. So the spirit of God that was still with David allowed a spirit of conviction to come up on him. Can you remain faithful even when you're being a little petty? Pettiness means when you know, I told you so type. Let me break down petty for people. I live in a house full of women, so I see it all the time. Yeah, well, I'm going to come on this side. When you know you write about something, and the other person is already kind of giving in, okay, I'm going to just make up a name. Johnny, you right. And then I say, Johnny, you right. And Johnny says, I know I'm right. That's pettiness. Or when you make a post on Facebook, and I have one, or no, and Johnny has one grammatical error, and then somebody says, I'm not going to like your post until you fix the grammar error. That's a little petty. I'm talking about Johnny and Sue. But right then, David did that, and he felt bad about it immediately. He felt bad that he had touched this anointed and appointed man of God in any way, shape, or form. He was troubled. That even though this man had tried to kill him, even though this man tried to take his life, even though this man was actively hunting him like he was wild prey, he still felt troubled that he had just cut his garment. Can we remain faithful when people are mistreating us? Can we remain faithful when people got our names in their mouth? Can we remain faithful when people stabbing us in our back? Can we remain faithful when we don't have any money in the bank? Can we remain faithful when I do for you and you ain't there when I call you? Can we remain faithful? I see all the time, I'm tired of being there for family, and then when I call them, they don't answer my phone call. So we just gonna stop being faithful? We're going to repay evil with evil? The Bible says we shouldn't do that. Can we remain faithful when people want our lives? Can we remain faithful when people are talking about our children? Can we remain faithful when they're trying to get us fired at our job? Can we remain faithful when our spouses ain't acting right? Can we remain faithful when people are just talking about us like dogs? Can we remain faithful? He could have killed him. But instead, he cut the piece of his robe. And then he said to these same men who were peer pressure, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Can we remain faithful even when the world is saying, this is your opportunity? This is your time to shine. This is your time for promotion. David had been promoted, had been anointed some 15 years before he took over the throne. I know I'm right about it. He had already been anointed. When you see something is yours and it's right there, just because it's yours don't mean it's yours right now. Sometimes we got to be able to go through the process because God is preparing us for the promotion. But we want stuff right then and there. Had David killed Saul, he would have immediately became king. The Bible already told us that the people loved him. It was no secret that Saul was chasing him. It would have been self-defense. Because everybody knew, especially them 3,000 or 4,000 that were with him, knew that Saul wanted David dead. My final point, and we're going to come to a close. Can we remain faithful in spite of the process? Can we remain faithful in spite of the process? David went from being a little errand boy for his father. He came in and seen everybody was scared of Goliath. He had no tactical or military training up to that point, and he ended up slaying King David. Slaying Goliath. And then he was honored, and they were cheering for him, and all this was going on, and he was feeling good about himself, and he's praising and worship. He's still faithful, and then he's in the temple with the king and in the palace, and he's playing his instruments, and spears are whizzing by his ear. And from that moment, he went from a great part of the process to a horrible part of the process, and he didn't even do anything. Write this down. If people are mad at you, let them be mad at you because you're doing what God wants you to do. Amen. Let them be mad at you because you're trying to live a life that's pleasing to God. I want you mad at me because I can't work on Sunday because I'm coming to worship in God. I want you to be mad at me because my kid might not be able to show up on Sunday because we got church service. I want you mad at me because I'm not working overtime on Tuesday because I'm coming to life application study. Be mad about that. In this situation, he was mad at David because David was trying to please God. He was mad at David because God favored David. He was mad at David because David behaved wisely. He was mad at David because David had the favor of God on his life. The same favor he had until he lost it. How did he lose it? Because of his conduct. Because he lacked faithfulness. But can you remain faithful when people are out to get you? Can you remain faithful in the darkest hour? Can you remain faithful when you don't know which way to go? Can you remain faithful when your loved ones are dying? Can you remain faithful when sickness comes over your body? Can you remain faithful during these times? And he's at a part of the process where he could have ended it all. He could have killed the king who was trying to kill him. Verse 8 says, and we almost done, y'all. Verse 7 says, so David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. He told his men, fall back. Fall back. I'm going to remain faithful. I'm not going to touch him, and I'm not even going to be slick and let you touch him. We're not going to touch him because he's the anointed and the appointed of God. Now, we know David didn't always think like that as he became king. He had some struggles as time went on. But for right now, David's on fire. Amen. Right now, David has made up his mind that he's going to serve God all the days of his life. David has made up his mind. I'm going to do like my father before me. I'm going to follow the statutes and the rules of God because I want to be faithful to him like he's always been faithful to me. I'm going to be faithful to him like he was faithful to me when I killed the bear. I'm going to be faithful to him like he was faithful to me when I killed the lion. I'm going to be faithful to him like he was faithful to me when I slew. He had made up his mind that at this time in his life, I'm going to be faithful to God. How about us? Where are we in our lives? And can we make the declaration that I'm going to be faithful to God right now? That means you got to show your enemy some love so it can be like heaping coals on their head. So you can confuse the enemy. That means if somebody's backbiting, you got to say, God bless you. See you tomorrow anyway. If somebody told on you and you got in trouble and you was doing wrong anyway, take your right up. God bless you. It's easy to be faithful and show love to those who love us. It's easy to be faithful and show love to those people who do us right. But can we be faithful to those people who continually do us wrong? So, verse 8 says, David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, and listen to this, my Lord, the king. Man, we've been trying to kill him, y'all. And he says, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, look at the humility. David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. Now, if you've been trying to kill me, I can assure you that when you turn around, me laying prostrate on the ground is not what you're going to see. I'm not going to say what you're going to see, but you won't see me laying down with my face to the ground talking about, oh, Lord, my king. That's what you're not going to see. But that's what David did to his most bitter arch nemesis. Amen? Amen. I mean, if that was Batman, Saul was the Joker. Okay? All right. So I'm trying to let you know that this man wanted him dead. He was literally haunted with the idea of killing King David. But David said, my Lord, the king, Saul, man of God, appointed by God, anointed by Samuel, he stooped down with his face to the earth and bowed down. And he told him, if you keep reading in 24, I don't know why you're mad at me. I don't care what these men are saying to you. I'm not trying to take your position. I'm not trying to be you. Whatever you tell me to do, I've done it. That's what the Bible meant by saying he behaved wisely. Whatever, he was faithful to the king. He didn't respect what Saul was doing, but he respected the position that God had put Saul in. He respected the fact that God had appointed Saul to be the ruler over the nation. He respected and he was faithful to the God to the point that he could have killed him. And if you keep reading, it says that Saul became emotional. He started to cry. And he said, go on, I'm sorry. I don't know why I've let him come to this. Because you showed mercy to me in this place. Go on, we through. I see the error of my ways. And you would have thought that Saul, it was over, right? That sounds like the end of the story, don't it? If you hop over to 26, that same distressful spirit came back and he tried to come after him again. You hear what I'm saying? But David has already said that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So when they was in the camp of Saul, the Bible says that the Lord allowed a deep sleep to come over Saul. And everybody was sleeping in the camp. And David and one of his men walked over there, and Saul was laying there asleep. The Bible says that there was a gallon of water, and there was a spear right by Saul's head. And the man that was with David said, I can take it. And I can kill him with one blow. It'll be clean. It'll be quick. One blow is all I need. David said, No. Grab that water and grab that spear and let's roll. So David didn't only spare his life once, but the same David who killed the Philistine, the same David who killed the bear, the same David who killed the lion, the same David who almost died twice and saved him in the cave could have killed him again. Can we remain faithful when people are trying to kill us over and over again? We can't even remain faithful to people who love us. We can't even remain faithful because somebody's talking about us. This man tried to kill David multiple times and he didn't touch him because he respected the perfect sovereign will of God the Father. Saul ended up dying and falling in battle. Jonathan, David's best friend, he told him, he said, they both died on the same day. God was trying to show David, and he didn't really have any support left. Saul was against him. Jonathan was caught in the middle. And no matter what, David could only depend on God at this time. That's it. So what are you saying? And we're going to get ready to close. Can we remain faithful in the midst of the process? The Hebrew boys, they remained faithful in the midst of the fiery furnace. They could have started to worship the God of the king. They could have started to turn their back on God, but they remained faithful. And when they were in the furnace, it was turned up so high that it burnt up the guards. And then they was in there, and the king said, did we not put three people in there? But I see four in there now, and they're moving around, and one looks like the Son of God. Can we remain faithful in the midst of the furnace? Daniel remained faithful in the lion's den. He stayed there all night long, and the Lord shut the mouths of the lion. So when you're in the midst of your enemies, can we remain faithful and trust that God will deliver us out of the mouth of the enemy? Elijah remained faithful even though Ahab and Jezebel were after them. Can we remain faithful when people are chasing us? And let's talk about Jesus the Christ. Let's talk about the Prince of Peace. Let's talk about how Jesus came down from heaven. And let's talk about how Jesus was obedient. He told them, even as a young boy, that I got to be about my Father's business. Jesus told them that I will be here just for a little while. And he told him that the woman with the oil, she'll be here just for a minute. But Jesus came here to do God's business. The Bible says that on that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he was betrayed with a kiss. He was betrayed by one of his own, and he didn't let that stop him from being faithful. He even asked God in the garden that if it be thy will, let this cup pass away from me, but not my will, thy will be done. God remained faithful in the midst of adversity. The Bible says that they whooped him all night long and they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. But he remained faithful in the midst of the lashes. He remained faithful as they tore his skin away with the whips. He remained faithful as they beat him to within an inch of his life. He remained faithful. The Bible says that later on in the morning, they put a cross on his back and they made him march up the hill of Golgotha. He remained faithful. He got a little help from Simon. He was beat all night long. Within an inch of his life, he didn't have any strength left in his body, but they made him carry the cross for you and for me. The Bible says that he remained faithful even in the midst of that. Y'all don't hear me on today. The Bible says that they put him in between two thieves and they drove nails through his hands and nails through his feet, but yet he remained faithful. The Bible says that they put a crown of thorn on his head and he was thirsty and they put him right there in between the thieves and they raised him up. The Bible says that when he said, I thirst, they put a sponge on his lips and they didn't understand that when he said, I'm getting thirsty, he realized that he was getting ready to be separated from the presence of God. He didn't realize that when he said, I thirst, he was yearning to be back in the presence of God. David said that whatever you do, God, don't take your spirit away from me. When Jesus took on the sin of mankind, he became thirsty. And that's why he said, I thirst. You got to obey your thirst, and you got to go over those things which are pleasing to the Spirit. Y'all don't hear me. You have to obey your thirst and chase after those things that will quench your thirst. The Bible says that he that thirst and hunger after righteousness shall be filled. But in the midst of that, the Bible says that he remained faithful. The Bible says that he could have called down a legion of angels, but he didn't. He remained faithful to the call of God. The Bible says that between the sixth and the ninth hour, that he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. The Bible says that the bones of the Savior would not be broken. So they pierced him in his side, and blood and water started to stream down. And the Bible says that they laid him in old man Joseph's borrowed tomb. See, were his people and followers able to remain faithful during this time? Peter had already denied Jesus and said, I don't know him. But he wasn't able to stay faithful because he got a little scared. Fear will take away your faithfulness if you're not grounded and rooted in Jesus Christ. You got to be faithful no matter what you're going through. But in the midst of this, Jesus laid there all night Friday night, and he laid there all night Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, God remained faithful, and Jesus got up from the ground, because God will never fall short of his word. Jesus said that I will go down, and in 3 days I'll raise it back up again. He's faithful, faithful, faithful. I'm trying to make you understand that without God, we can't do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Oh, he remains faithful. I'm reminded of a story, and I did a little research. And when a baby is born, and the baby is born, the first thing they want to do is they want to put the baby on the mama's chest. Some people believe that this triggers the colostrum in the body, in the bosoms of the mother. Amen. Walk with me. Walk with me. And so soon as they get the baby and they make sure he's okay or she's okay, they want the baby to latch on to the mother. Amen. And what that does is that triggers just about 3 drops of what they call colostrum. And it's just a little bit, and that's enough for a couple days to keep the baby full, amen? It gives them all the nutrients and everything that they need. But the baby will stay latched on longer than them 3-4 little drops, because what the baby does is it's triggering the breast milk to start to come down. If the baby don't latch on, or if there's no pumping going on, the breast milk won't come in like it's supposed to. We're going to go somewhere. So why does the baby stay on even though there's no milk coming down? The Bible says that this baby is nursing by faith. Because as long as I nurse, I got some milk coming. Maybe not today, but it's going to come next week. And if it don't come next week, I know it's going to come one day. So I'm going to keep on nursing. If I'm not nursing, she better be pumping, because I got to do it by faith, because I know one day my milk is going to come. You got to do things by faith, even when you don't believe it's going to happen. Can we remain faithful when there's no money in the bank? Can we remain faithful when there's no money in the bank? Can we remain faithful when the doctor's giving us bad news? Can we remain faithful when stuff ain't going right? Yeah. I look at my life, and I had a whole bunch of times when I wasn't faithful, and I wasn't doing things the way God wanted me to do them. I was a lot like Saul. But God remained faithful. I remember when I lost a child and I never thought things were going to be right again. I remember when I went through a divorce and I never thought things were going to be right again. But God remained faithful while I was unfaithful. And then one day I said, I got to get it together. And I allowed the Lord to bring me back on track before things got together. And the more I lined up with God, the more faithful he got. And the more faithful I got, the more faithful he got. I looked up again and my kids were healthy and strong. And I stayed on the straight line. And then the Lord gave me my wife. And I kept going on. And I stayed faithful when I didn't have nothing. When my car couldn't get up the highway, I stayed faithful. When I didn't have money in the bank, I stayed faithful. When I needed my honorarium check to get back to my house, I stayed faithful. I'm trying to tell you that I'm going to stay faithful. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve God all the days of my life. Years ago, when my son passed, and then I had 2 more little baby girls, and I said, well, God, that's it. I got my wife. I got my kids. Everything is good to go. And here I am, and I pray. And we pray. We said, we want just one more, y'all. Just one more. We prayed, and we didn't know what God had in store. And see, let me tell you, I'm going to sit down. And we got ready. And I said, well, ain't nothing happening. You know, we busy. You know, we busy. But ain't nothing happening. So we got ready to go. But we stayed faithful, you see. And we got ready to go see the doctor to see what he was going to say. And before we could even get in there to see the doctor, she said, ooh, we got a couple on the way. And she showed me two pregnancy tests. And now we got one on the way. So when I was going through my trial of bearing one son, when I was going through the divorce of the first wife, when I didn't know what was going to happen, God had all this lined up. I just had to stay faithful. So now I don't care what happens tomorrow, I'm going to stay faithful. Yeah. If somebody dies today, I might cry, but I got to stay faithful. Yeah. I don't care if all my money's gone in the morning, I got to stay faithful. Yes. And surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.